Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength4thejourney.com. This is radio program number 52, if you're listening by shortwave radio. And today in the studio, I have a good friend of mine that has joined me again, Eric Gentz. He has recently moved to Panama and taking a big step of faith with 10 children. And he's here with me today to share a dream that he had and some other things that we're going to be discussing. But we had a great Christmas day and dinner together. We had his family, my family, and one other family, and we had a little over 32 people in our home. So, Eric, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here with you.
Well, today we're really excited about what God is doing. He's looking for willing people, because we can't be obedient until at least we're willing. You know, in Joshua it says that if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And this is what God is looking for in all of us right now. He's looking for a willing heart that is, say, Lord, I will. I don't know what you want, but I will. Just lead me and guide me. My heart desires to be obedient. I just don't know what to do. And I believe that if you will put yourself in this position as you listen to this program, that God will speak to your heart, because he is trying to get our attention right now, and he's just looking for ears that hear and a heart that is willing to obey. And so I pray right now that there are hearing ears and a willing heart out there to hear what the message is.
You know, that's so true. I believe that the key to anything that God does in our life is directly related to obedience. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And it's not about talking necessarily. It's not about, you know, what we think. It's about what we demonstrate in our life. Our actions demonstrate the truth, not necessarily what we say. So, you know, I realized in life that talk can be cheap sometimes, and that it matters what we do. That speaks louder than anything else. It demonstrates the reality that exists within our heart. You know, because sometimes it's easy to talk about God. Sometimes it's easy to talk about what's right. It's another thing to walk it out. And, you know, like the scripture says, to not be only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. That's the challenge of being a doer of the word, being obedient to what God is saying. And our obedience opens the door for God to do what we cannot do. When we take the step in the natural to obey God, whether you know, obeying his word or what he's showing us or speaking to us or the warnings we're giving, being given to us, when we take the step in the natural to move forward in obedience, then God moves in the supernatural. Then he does what only he can do. He does the things that we cannot do, because he always puts us in a place of weakness where we can't do it ourselves, so that he can prove himself mighty and strong, so that he can come through and prove that he is God.
You know, it's interesting when you're saying hearers of the word or doers of the word. It reminded me, I saw a car sitting in a parking lot, and a hearer was just revving his engine. And a doer is the one who put it in gear and drove and went. And doing is you got to engage. You have to get what you've heard and put the car in drive and begin to walk it out. And you got to engage the word of the Lord in your life, or else you're just sitting there in a parking lot revving your engine and think you're going nowhere in life.
Exactly. And you know, when we willingly choose, because God won't ever force us to obey, but when we willingly choose to be obedient and to have our life line up with the truth, then that's when deliverance comes. That's when healing comes. That's when the forgiveness of sins come. That's when provision comes. You know, that's the door that opens up, you know, God giving us exactly what we need in our life.
And you know, the greatest thing God is looking for in all of us is humility. That this is the access place in our life, into our heart, that God begins to work because we humble ourselves. You know, I think about the Second Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. There's a process that it has to go through. Humble yourself, seek his face, and turn from your wicked ways. It has to be done in that order, I believe. And it starts with humility. And many times receiving a word from the Lord is an act of humility, that you have to have you have to be in a position where you realize you don't know it all. You may think that you know what you know, maybe because somebody has told you in the past, or you grew up believing this thing has always been this way. But I believe God is rearranging the furniture, and he's changing some things in our lives because he's trying to show us that some of the pieces of the puzzle that we put in place are not going to fit the big picture of what he's trying to show us right now. So some of the pieces of the puzzles that some of us have put in place may not be in the right position, and we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I've always believed this to be true, but what do you know? What are you trying to show me? Did I put a piece in the puzzle only because somebody said that's where it belonged, or did you tell me that's where this piece of the puzzle belongs?
Right. You know, and I think just in the Christian life, no matter how we've been raised, what church we were associated with or discipled in, there are traditions of men, there are certain doctrines, you know, that God will inevitably challenge us on. And I'm not talking about the essentials. I'm talking about non-essentials, the things that do not define who a Christian is, or the things that do not define who Jesus is and what he did on the cross and what it means to be a follower of Christ. But maybe views on eschatology, maybe views on how certain things are done within in the church. And I'm not against traditions or things like that, you know, because not every tradition is bad. But the challenge is when we elevate those things, those traditions of men or doctrines, to a place where we either don't fellowship with our brother or sister in Christ, or we discount what other people are saying that may be true because it doesn't fit in our theological box.
Yes.
And so that's the challenge. You know, as truth seekers, we have to take everything before the Lord and his word, and we have to be willing to allow some of our pet doctrines or traditions to burn up, because I'll tell you right now, we don't have it all figured out. And when we all stand before the Lord, he's going to reveal the truth, and not all of us are going to have it all figured out and all together. We're going to see some of these things burn up in front of us. And so the challenges in life, as I've walked out my Christian faith, as I've been challenged at different times in some of these traditions or some of these doctrines that I've been taught, because you pretty much believe what you've been taught when you were saved, when you were born again. It's kind of, that's just how it works. But you know, we have to be willing to lay things at the altar that may not match up with the truth.
Yeah, that's right. And so, with that in mind, I want you to just kind of share what maybe prepared you. You realize that some things are about to change in the United States, as I did. Our time frames aren't always accurate. Sometimes we have a sense of urgency and we think something's going to happen sooner than it does. But there's a purpose in the sense of urgency, I believe, because the Lord gave me a sense of urgency to leave the United States and move to Panama a little over 2 years ago. And I was just obedient, not knowing anybody. I came just absolutely, totally vulnerable in this position of leaving everything and coming to a place where I didn't even know anybody. I didn't know the language. But God met me here. And as I described, that's when manna begins to fall, is when you get to the other side. You have to get to the other side before the manna falls. You're looking for manna to fall to confirm that you're supposed to go, but you have to go in obedience. And that's where the manna begins to fall. And in this state of leaving, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but I needed to prepare a place for other people. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, your obedience will pave the way for many. I didn't understand what that meant at the time, but I'm beginning to see that fulfilled right now in other families right now that are leaving and coming right now to a foreign land. But there had to be a machete that went through the jungle first to cut a path. And now that you're in this position right now, the Lord's put a vision in your heart many years ago, and you didn't know how it was going to happen, but I think this is all setting a time frame and an urge sense of urgency to get with what God spoke to you many years ago.
Right, and you know, I'm not going to get into the details of what the Lord spoke to me. He basically told me to build an ark, which is a place of refuge, and it's also a dwelling place of his presence, but I guess the main thing that, you know, we want to discuss today, which is a dream that I had on Sunday, and which actually ties into why God brought us here and what we're supposed to do to prepare to build an ark and to prepare for people coming. But it's basically what's going to happen to America. I had a dream on Sunday morning, and I want to preface what I'm going to say first and foremost that I'm not saying that this is of the Lord or not of the Lord. I know in my heart what I believe to be true, and I'm not a date setter, because really, who am I to say anything? What matters is what is the Lord saying? What is He speaking? And I believe that what I'm going to share with you, if it's of God, then He will confirm it and in people's hearts as they seek Him. Because as believers, we're supposed to not just take anything at face value what people say. We're supposed to judge it against God's word. We're supposed to seek Him and find out if it's of God or not.
That's right.
So basically, I had a dream early Sunday morning that woke me up out of my sleep. But basically, what my dream was is that I was somewhere out over the ocean, and I was looking at my watch, and I was counting down the time. I knew in my dream that there was an event that was going to take place that I knew was going to take place, and I was actually counting down on my watch for this event to take place. And when my second hand reached the certain time on my watch, I saw a nuclear missile come out of a submerged submarine underwater and go up into the air. And immediately I understood that its intended target was the United States. Then immediately after I saw that nuclear missile come out of a submerged submarine, I saw, I don't know if it was one or many additional like ICBM missiles launched from land-based silos. And the understanding I had was that North Korea was behind what I was seeing. And then at the end of that dream, I was given a date, a specific date. And I just have to say, I've never been given a dream like this before. And the date that I had in my dream was December 3rd, 2015. And I immediately awoke out of my dream. I began immediately to pray and ask the Lord, is this dream from you? And I asked the Lord two things to find out if this dream was from Him. I asked Him that He would give me another dream that night as I fell asleep before I woke up the next morning about this first dream. And then I asked Him to give me a scripture in His word to confirm this dream also. So I went back to sleep, and I had another dream, a second dream. And the dream was that I was meeting with two other men, and I don't know who these men were, but I knew, and they also knew, that God had brought us together by divine appointment for me to be able to share the warning of the dream I had just been given. So in my dream, I was warning these two men about the dream I had just been given before that. And it seemed like I dreamt about this all the whole rest of the night and morning, and then I woke up with my phone ringing, coming right out of the dream that I was in. And so when I awoke, I then asked the Lord to give me a scripture, and in my daily 1 year Bible reading, it was in Micah, and the specific verse that I read, which I believe was the Lord confirming the two dreams I just had in answer to my prayer, was this. It's Micah chapter 5, verses 10 through 15. And I'm going to go ahead and read it right now. It says, "And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that I will cut off your horses from your midst and destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you shall have no soothsayers. Your carved images I will also cut off, and your sacred pillars from your midst. You shall no more worship the work of your hands. I will pluck your wooden images from your midst. Thus I will destroy your cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury on the nations that have not heard." And this last word is also translated "on the nations that have not obeyed." So this is the scripture I was given, and so it really affected me greatly, and I obviously shared it with you and some other people that are friends of mine, and so what I've realized is that I've had a dream, and people can take what they want from it. But the bottom line is, if it's of God, then it will come to pass. And if it's of God, he will confirm that in the hearts of other people. So I'm not going to sit here and say, be a date setter or say that this was from the Lord, thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying that. I'm basically just communicating the dream that I had.
And I want to share some things here, because this was very interesting how a series of events happened that day. We had a long day at church, and it was late in the afternoon because the church service where we go runs late in the day. And so we were all sitting around my family having some a late lunch, early dinner. And there's a young lady that has left the United States and is living with our family right now. She's been friends with our family for many years, and she, the Lord just spoke to her in her third year of college and said for her to leave, and out of the blue just put her on her heart to come to Panama. There was an extra seat, a family that was just coming here, another friend of yours had an extra seat that was available. Her father had spoke to me in August, and he was planning on coming in November. He'd written the date on their calendar. She was wondering if this was true, if this was the Lord. She gets home and she sees the date Panama on the day of the ticket that she was supposed to leave on, and she was asking God to give her confirmation. That was just one of three confirmations. But all to say, this girl has divinely been directed here in Panama right now. And we were sitting there, she was sitting next to me at the dinner table, and out of the blue, she just looks at me and she says, do you think all this stuff is going to really happen to the United States, and when do you think it's going to happen? And at that very moment, I didn't even have a chance to answer or even think about answering. It was just as soon as she finished the last word of that statement, my phone rang, and I just looked over and I said, well, excuse me just a second. I picked up the phone. It was you on the phone, Eric, and you said, I had a dream early this morning, and I just would like to sit down when you have a moment and share this dream with you. And I said, well, I'm about ready to head out and head to my house. You're on the way. I'll swing by on the way. So first of all, that was very odd that she would ask me that question at the very moment that you called me with this dream. And another thing, too, is that when we're sitting there, you were sharing this dream with me on the porch. Your little boy came up as we were walking out on the porch and said, well, I had a dream too, Daddy. And it's very interesting that his dream was after you woke up and you asked for a confirming dream. And in his dream, he had a special watch that was like a compass type watch. And there were three numbers that were highlighted on the watch with the little green dots. One was 10, one was 12, and one was 3. And during the dream that he had, the lights began to flash, and the green on the 10 began to flash red. And in this dream, there was one animal that ate the other animal on the hillside that was directly where the arrows were pointing at 10, 12, and 3. And it was, and the red light was flashing red, that's when the animal was other animals eaten. And when I had him draw it out on a piece of paper, I said, would you draw your dream out on a piece of paper? And he's only 11 years old. And he drew this cute little picture, and the sun was where his compass was supposed to be lined up to on the 12th. And when I saw the 12 and the 3, I thought, wow, is that the confirmation of that date? Because there's December 3rd, 12-3, and on 10. So whether this is all from the Lord or not, that is something that all of us will have to really seek the Lord on and just ask God to speak to our heart whether this is the truth. And one thing that it has done for us is that it's put a sense of urgency that there's things that God has put on our heart to do, and that it's given us a timeline to not delay. And I'm just going to share this with you that are listening as well, is that when we came to Panama and we left the United States, when we left on our exploratory trip, we had a date in mind of when we're supposed to come back, and that was the first part of August, by the 1st of August. And so this was our timeline that we had. So we, every day, we did something. We had lots of things to do because we had a household of things that we accumulated over 11 years at this one particular house to sell and get rid of, because we had nothing but, we only were given the permission by the Lord to take suitcases. So here we were working diligently every day, and we had a mirror in our bathroom that my daughters would write on there that we had so many days left. And every day they would erase that day and put one less day. And what it did is put a focus. We stayed focused during that whole time. And many times people want to say, well, you can't pick a date. You know, no man knows the day or the hour. But if you think about it, that was referring to the Lord's return. So the thing that came to my mind when you had this dream, and I've heard people already say, well, you know, you can't pick a day, or you can't, nobody knows that day. It's, this is not the day of the Lord's return. This is the day of judgment. It's just, it's a day, if you lived in Nazi Germany, when the gates would go up and you couldn't get out anymore. There was a certain day that day came. There was a day that the ark door of Noah's ark was shut, and no one could get in, no one could get out. There is a day that comes. So what if it was a prophet of the Lord that came to America, and he said, yet 340 days this nation will be overthrown? Because tomorrow, which is Sunday, if the first day this will be aired this weekend, tomorrow will be 340 days. So let's say that was the word of the Lord. It was no different than Jonah. Would everybody go scoff and say, no, it ain't going to happen? Or is it going to be just in the days of Noah that everybody's going about their daily life, living life as usual, and not heeding any of the warnings that God is trying to speak?
Yeah, and you know, it's caused me to think about things differently after this dream, because, you know, if it is of the Lord, if it is true, then we literally have a limited amount of time, that every day is valuable, every day is critical to be in God's will and to be doing what he wants us to do, what he's called us to do. And so if anything, this dream shakes people up to take God seriously, to take the message of warning that judgment is coming to America, to take it seriously, then praise God. You know, my heart, and I share this with everybody I know when I talk to them from the States, it is critical. It is life and death right now, the decisions we make. And so what it always starts with is that our hearts have to be right with Jesus. We have to have a clean heart. Our sins need to be forgiven. We need to be born again, washed in his blood, and have his spirit dwelling inside of us. That is the first thing that needs to happen in response. So if people are hearing this message and they're fearful of this message, it usually means because your heart is not right, or you're not where you need to be, or you're not doing what God wants you to do. Because the truth never brings fear to someone whose heart is right with God. So that's the first step. The second step is, God, is this message from you? Lord, are you really going to do these things? Is judgment really coming to America? And we, you know, you can't take my word for it. You can't take anybody else's word for it. You have to go to the source. You have to go to the author and finisher of our faith. You have to find out from the Lord about these things and let him speak to you personally. Let him tell you personally about these things, because he will if you seek him.
Well, the key is, just like 2 Chronicles 7:14, got to take the steps, humble yourself. Lord, is this you? Seek his face, fall before him in brokenness and humility. Lord, what do you want me to do? If this is of you, what should I do? Because, you know, there's a time, I had a word, and I just encourage people to go back to my website, Strength for the Journey, and look at the date, today's Rhema. There are some words the Lord has given me that confirms many things right now, and one of those is back around June, when we had our May or June, when the borders were becoming porous, and there's a lot of infiltration that was coming in, and who knows who came in. But he said that there's the smoke, the fire's on the border and moving inland fast. And he said that the tinder has become dry, because the spiritual drought has caused the tinder to become dry and ripe for the fires of judgment. This is what the Lord spoke to me. And he said the USS Titanic, I can't remember exactly how it was worded, is beginning to, it's a tilt. You may not be able to see it from your perspective, but I can. And he said the limited lifeboats on board the boat represent the limited time there is to respond to my word. And so this was an analogy the Lord gave me, is that the boat is beginning to tilt. And you have, it says, not time to panic, but it's time to act. So this is the time right now, I believe the Lord is saying, it's time to seek his face with all of your heart. Turn from your wicked ways. If there's things in your life that you know is not pleasing to God, don't put yourself in a position to be judged. Put your position into to be blessed by your obedience, because God blesses obedience. He judges disobedience. And you want to separate yourself. Go back and reread Ezekiel, the first part of Ezekiel, because when judgment came upon Israel, he said that it became upon the four corners of the land that judgment came. But he said, put a mark on those who sigh and cry at all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. In other words, they had a repentant heart. They were grieved at the sins around them. And I believe that what God is looking for, and if you just want to examine yourself and see where your heart is right now, does the sin around you entice you or does it grieve you? Because if it entices you, then maybe you need to check and see if your heart's right with the Lord, because it should grieve us right now. What grieves God should be grieving us right now. And this is a time to seek the Lord with all of our heart and find out, is there anything displeasing in my life that displeases you, Lord?
Yes. I'd like to just pray for those who are listening right now. Lord, we just lift you up. Lord, we are in a place that we desperately need you. Lord, we desperately need you. And I pray for those who are hearing this message right now, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray, Lord, that if their life needs to be shaken so that you could get their attention, then do what needs to be done. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that those who are walking the fence right now would take courage, and they would have faith to trust in you to be obedient to what you're telling them to do, that they would take the step of faith through obedience, knowing, Lord, that you will open up doors that no man can shut. I pray, Lord, for those people that are listening right now that need a clear word from the Lord. Is this from you, Lord? Is this what I'm hearing on this broadcast today? Is this from you, Lord? I've got to know. Lord, I pray that you would give them the revelation, the understanding, the confirmation that they need to know that they know that they know about this message. Because, Lord, if it is true, it changes everything, Lord, and we have a limited time to respond and act. So I just pray, Lord, for all those listening, give them exactly what they need. And if there are those who are listening right now, you've been lukewarm in your Christian life, and the conviction of God's Spirit is coming upon you right now. God's calling you right now, when this broadcast is done, to get on your knees and repent of your sin, to ask for forgiveness, and to know that if you can confess your sins, He is faithful to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that His promise is He will make you clean. And that He will set you on the path of truth, and He will direct you the steps of a righteous man or order of the Lord. God will begin to direct your steps on Amen. What you need to do and where you need to go, that we are not motivated by fear, but by faith and trust in the Lord.
That's right. Well, Eric, thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. And everyone, I just pray that this message touches your heart. And we just look forward to talking to you next time. Again, our website is strength with the number 4 thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. For the journey.